Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the old Lake County Jail and the spirits that have never left. A conversation with Jackie Thompson and Sandy Boyd.
We've both had moments.
Oh, yeah.
In there. You know, stuff that I can't explain. There's areas that we pause before we even walk into. Sometimes we refuse to walk into that area at all.
You can feel it in your chest. It's like sometimes you just get this, I don't know, at least for me, it's like a tightness in my chest and, you know, at the top of my stomach, just like a, I don't like this. This does not feel good and I don't want to go in.
Do you also think, too, it could be because you're women in certain parts of that prison you wouldn't have ever gone into?
Yeah. Well, in federal on the third floor, you know, we had been told by a medium that she felt there was a priest up there saying Latin prayers. Didn't know if it was an inmate or saying prayers to an inmate. So I thought, you know, it just played Latin prayers on my phone one day in there. And I ended up getting choked. Like, I could not swallow. And I felt pressure around my throat to the point where I, you know, shut off the phone and I left that area altogether. And it took me a little bit to go back up there again. That was so real.
I'm impressed that you even did go back.
I can't explain it. Huh?
I'm surprised that you even did go back. That'd have been enough for me.
I know.
What I find interesting.
Yeah, she's played Latin prayers again since then, too.
You have? Because I would have thought, I would have thought by playing the Latin prayers, that would have been bringing them comfort and peace. But it kind of brought out the opposite.
Yeah, obviously that was not.
No.
happened. Well, and then we found out later. So in 1963, there was like some scandals going on here, and there were some guards that were bringing in like drugs and alcohol. And there was this inmate in solitary confinement, James Cook, and he knew what was going on. And when he went in front of the judge, he told the judge everything. And when they brought him back, they like beat him. And we always felt he was the one that was maybe the more angry one up there. And then find out he used to pose as a minister. You know, is he this priest that they're talking about and not a real one at all?
Maybe he grew up with Latin prayers, or maybe they just thought he was saying Latin prayers and he was just talking gibberish.
Yeah, who knows? And kind of know anyone out there ghost hunting, we know that they can kind of show themselves any way they want to you. That's why they tell you if it's a child spirit, it may not be, you know, and that kind of stuff. They can make you feel like they're 10 feet tall or that they're really small. From what we know about ghosts, you know, from just experiences and things like that, we know a lot of things can be manipulated to make you feel certain ways.
So I'm going to guess like there's just your regular things like footsteps and there's slamming doors and jail cell sounds. But the choking thing, I did not see that one coming.
Yeah, no, I not that at all. But more so than footsteps, slamming doors, stuff like that, this place will mentally and emotionally get you.
Yes.
We even have a corner on the third floor that we call Possession Corner. We have actually seen people, like their personalities change. Like even when we're doing walkthroughs with them, you know, we had one guy we were doing on a walkthrough and he just kind of stopped in this corner. And we were telling him something about, you know, to be careful or whatever it was. And he looked right at us and said, I would worry more about yourself than worry about me. And he got this anger about him. He was not the same person. And then he didn't even remember it. He didn't even remember saying it.
Wow. That would kind of freak me out if that happened and somebody told me I said something like that. And I didn't remember it. Did he stick around and do an investigation that night? Or I don't know. I'd have been like, I'm not wanted here.
Yeah, because he didn't even remember it happening.
We've also had like one of our friends that has been here often. He'll get like anger, like violent anger. And he'll recognize it, you know, and kind of pre-warn us, just like, hey, I'm thinking, he told me, we were standing at the top of the stairs one day, and he just looked at me and he goes, I'm getting the urge to push you down the stairs. I'm like, yeah, I'm out.
I think when he would come around, I'd be like, you can't come in. You can't be in here. This is not a good environment for you. Well, when somebody looks at you and says,
bring him down out of the jail.
That's so interesting.
We let them calm down. And usually when you remove yourself from the area, whatever symptoms or issues you're having pretty much go away relatively quickly. So, you know, especially like if you go completely out of the building, out of the porch.
Yeah. I had one instance on the second floor where I just started sobbing. And like, I knew it wasn't coming from me. Like, I wasn't sad, but I couldn't stop. I had to come all the way downstairs in the house for that to subside, you know. And that third floor federal, that's another area where there's like benches in there we sit on. And if you look at the person next to you in the dark, it looks like their face is melting off. Ooh. And we're not the only ones that have commented on that.
Yeah.
It's just a thing. I don't even know what that is.
So really in that building, it almost sounds like there's not one particular place that is more of a hot spot than another place.
Oh, no. No. But it can shift too. Like you can have a cell block where it's completely physical, you know, and you're getting grabbed and you're getting pushed and this and that's going on. And then, you know, a few months later, you go up there and it's not physical anymore. Like it doesn't feel empty, but nobody's touching you. But then there's an area that wasn't that active that is now very active. So it like the energy will shift throughout the building too.
So do they think that there's any particular former inmates that are still there? I mean, because of course there's no way to know for sure. You know, Bob Rogers is still there, but are they picking up on certain things?
I think what we've noticed is, like if we do research on certain inmates and we know where they were in the jail by newspaper articles or this or that, we'll go in that area and we'll start calling them out, you know, and we kind of watch the equipment. And there's one guy, George Brown, the Indiana doomed slayer. He killed two women, buried them out by the Gary Airport. And we know exactly where he was. So we go in there and, hey, is George Brown around? And the equipment starts going off, you know. So we start asking questions, try to trip them up, you know, like, oh, so you escaped through this first window here and nothing will go off. Like, oh, you escaped out the last window and all the equipment will go off. You know, so I think we can identify some of them who we're talking to.
Well, and I think that with you getting choked in the Latin prayers, that's kind of interesting what you found out about that guy.
Yeah, I don't know if that was him or not or what's going on. But
it sounds like it could be.
I'll tell you what was really crazy is this group had brought like a couple of 16-year-old girls with them. And they were in George Brown's area. And they left these girls in there by themselves to like ghost hunt, you know. And I had gone out on the front porch. Now, George Brown, the girl he did bury alive was 16. And he was labeled a sexual deviant, too. And I had gone out on the front porch. And while I was sitting out there by myself, I'm looking in the big window in front. And the curtain fell. and it hit like a picture, shattered the glass, the whole thing. And I'm like, I am not going in there right now because there was nobody in the house. They were all in the jail. So I'm just sitting on the porch waiting for the group to come out on break or something. And they come out and tell me, oh yeah, the girls were with George Brown and he was really talking to them, blah, blah, blah. And I'm wondering, was that a sheriff trying to get my attention to tell me that 16-year-old girls were in with George Brown?
It kind of makes sense. Even to me, like I haven't even been there. And I'm like, I don't think that seems like a really safe thing for these girls.
Yeah, and I did not go in and save anybody. I was too chicken.
Well, obviously the girls made it out okay, but it just seems like that could be, you know, a very scary situation for them, potentially.
Yeah.
But I like that idea of he's trying to get your attention. Because of all times for that to happen right then.
Right, and it never fell before.
Yeah. And, you know,
because yeah, I don't know.
Some of the spirits that are in this place, they're not, you know, Mr. Rogers. No. You know, these are the people you want to run away from.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we know the hatchet killers. We know, you know, Frank Mickerleen, well, Al Capone introduced the Tommy gun into Chicago. He was here. You know, like those kind of guys. He shot and killed his wife and her two dogs.
Oh.
And countless other people along the way. But yeah, these were not all good people. And we had a juvenile. So we've got that young energy in there too. This place spanned a lot of history.
Mm-hmm.
So in the outside world, you know, all this stuff is going on. You know, while people are in here. So, you know, you had segregation, you had civil rights, you had politics going on, you had the assassination of a president. You know, all this outside world stuff happening. Like sometimes we'll go in there and talk about that stuff and get a lot of response. You know, we'll talk about, were you in the war? There was probably a lot of World War One, World War Two, you know, mm-hmm. Vietnam, Korean, you know, there was a lot of veterans in here probably. I know one night in 1909 section, there's a big cell block and you sit in the middle and there are nine cells going down one side and nine cells going down the other side, right? And in the middle is this long metal bench that is original to the room. And we sit on that bench when we're ghost hunting. And I had heard a story that there were some guards that allowed two inmates to stab each other. So while we were sitting there, I was asking, like, you know, why did you allow that to happen? Why did you allow them to stab each other and not do your job? Something hit that bench so hard and so loud. I think we made it down into the front porch in like 7 seconds. I ran. Like, it was so loud and so hard on that metal bench. It was terrifying.
It was almost like you made somebody mad by questioning them. Like, how dare you ask me that?
Yeah, and we try not to provoke. We don't, you know, we don't call names. And I tell groups, don't say anything to them that you wouldn't say to a real inmate in a real jail. You know, like you're not going to walk in and call them punk or anything like that. Like, we don't do that here. We respect that it's their space.
But, you know, you just thought you were asking a legit question. Why?
Yeah, yeah. Like what's an experience for you? Like, can you think of one that was,
there's just been so many. There was, I mean, a simple one that scared the crap out of me was we were sitting in one of the offices and, we'll sit in there sometimes and just vent to each other, you know, as friends do. Don't ask me why we pick inside the jail, but whatever was going on, we were venting, and the chair I was sitting in was one of the, more original chairs to the jail that, you know, has been here forever while it was even working. And something grabbed the chair and shook it, and like hard, like it wasn't like a little tiny vibration. Like it felt like someone had grabbed the arm and just shook it back and forth. I was out of that chair and across the room, and my back was out beforehand, but you wouldn't know it because I moved like I had ever moved in my life.
Yeah, she jumped across the room and I'm standing there going, what, where, like, where do I need to run? I don't know what scared you.
And that's really a weird thing. Like, we've all sat in a chair that was wobbly or the leg broke, you know, like something on a sitcom. We've all done something like that. But sitting in the chair, just having a conversation that's not even a paranormal conversation, you weren't ghost hunting, that's a different feeling having something grab your chair.
Oh, yeah.
Than having a chair just walk.
Yeah, and we have like a doppelganger things happen here. Like, I thought, I was talking to one of our other helpers. His name was Matt. I'm looking right at his back in a cell, and he was facing outward toward the guard walk. And I'm like, hey, Matt, what are you looking at? Like, what are you seeing? And he didn't answer me. And then the girl next to me screamed because she saw something. And I looked back and he's gone. And I'm like, where's Matt? And I'm asking. He was on another floor. He wasn't even there with us. I don't know who I was talking to.
Did the girl know why she screamed?
She saw something run through the guard walk from the cell next to me.
There's also like a weird here that happens both with time and like space. Like one time we were in possession corner and there was a group there ghost hunting, but we saw one of the other group members walking down the guard walk, like right towards us. And we're trying to, we play a game, real person or ghost. So we're trying to determine. And I shined my flashlight directly in his face. He had a hoodie on and his hood was pulled up. And I shined my flashlight directly at him. And then we were laughing because we recognized him as one of the group members. And he, you know, looked around and then turned around and walked the way he came. Well, and later on that night, we were, we all took a break and we were out on the porch, and I was laughing, talking to him. And I was like, man, I was like, you really gave me a scare, because even when I shined the flashlight in his face, I was joking. And I said, you look creepier in the light than you do in the dark. And he didn't respond to it. But then when we were on the porch, it's because he had no recollection of any of that happening.
He never saw us. He never saw the flashlight. Nothing.
And I shined it directly in his face. Like, there's no way he couldn't have seen us. But then when we were talking about it, then we were trying to figure out, okay, well, did you walk down the guard walk? Yes, he did. Like,
but you know, he never saw us.
He wasn't on our realm or something.
And then you'll be in there what you think was like 40 minutes maybe. And you come out and 2.5 hours have passed. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way.
And does like, that all kind of happen in the same area?
No. The time thing is just a jail.
Anywhere.
It just varies. Or we'll walk in to do something real quick, you know, and again, we're leaving thinking, that only took us about 15 minutes. And no, an hour's passed or something. And we're like, there's no possible way we were in there for an hour, but we were.
Man, you got to watch that. If you have a doctor's appointment or there's something going on, it's right? Like, can't go in the jail. I don't know that I'll make it.
Yeah. Other groups report the same thing. They tell us, they'll come down and say, holy, you know, we can't believe we've been in there 3 hours.
Right.
You know, they thought they were only in there like an hour.
Especially if you don't have that conversation with them, where would they get that?
Yeah, there's a lot of times we don't tell them things on purpose just to to verify what happens to us and see if it happens to them too, like in the same places. So sometimes we don't tell groups everything, you know, and then later they'll be like, oh my gosh, we were in the, this happened. And we're like, yep. And we've got a picture of it to show you, you know, because we have a lot of cool photos too. I mean, there is an amazing photo. There was a group here. They all own hearses. They're a hearse club. And they got this amazing photo of a man standing right here in the house by the parlor door. And there's no mistaking that that's a man. Oops.
That was not paranormal. That was a phone.
That was a phone. Okay.
So they got a picture of a man in the parlor.
Yeah, and it looks like he's walking out of, they shot it from our bathroom door, actually, like pointed towards the front door. And it looks like he's walking out of the parlor door. You can fully see he's wearing a hat. You can see, vaguely see his clothing, but you can see like the outline of his face, his body. Looks like he might have a pipe or something. So we don't know if he lived here or really who he is.
So you said earlier that when it comes to the paranormal investigations, you do that from May through September, and they sell out pretty fast.
Yeah, sold out by April.
When do you open it up?
For February. Bookings?
Okay.
Well, last week of February, first week of March is where I'll put on Facebook that we are now taking bookings for the season. And we try to keep one Saturday a month open for us, for our own events. I like doing events, but we end up giving them away sometimes because, you know, we get so many requests to ghost hunt. But like we said, we're not paid to be here. We both have families. We both have full-time jobs. So we do just Fridays and Saturdays. This past year, we opened a Twilight Tour, which is like a two-hour paranormal history. There's another board member that runs that. So we've been able to get some more people, you know, to be able to come in and do it that way. And we have regular daytime tours for like the history.
You could go there during the day and still end up getting your hair pulled, I'm sure, or touched, or doors are slamming or something, because it doesn't stop just because it's daylight.
Oh, yeah. I had a poor Girl Scout group in here just for a regular tour. And I'm standing there talking to them and the bathroom door behind me opened and hit me in the back of the leg. I'm like kicking it shut going like, not now.
They're Girl Scouts.
Right? They're little girls. Stop it. You know, and then the hacksaw murderers and they're going, I like little girls.
Right. It's like, girls, stay together. Stay together. Right. Hold hands.
When we go in there to clean or just to do random things, we'll actually tell them. We'll be like, guys, leave us alone. We're here to clean. We're just coming in real quick to grab something. Please don't scare us. We're not here to play.
I would do the same thing. I'd be like, I'm cleaning today. I hope you guys are good. Just going to get my stuff done. Please leave me alone. I could see me doing that.
Well, there's times we're in there doing whatever and, you know, there's stuff going on and she'll look at me anything and I'm like, yep, I didn't hear anything either. And we'll just keep going. But it's still happening, you know.
But we're going to deny it.
Exactly.
The other night we were like setting up some lighting for the haunted house and I had to, you know, run up to the second landing and there's like, they're called suicide grids. So when you go into this room, you can see all the way up to the third floor skylight through these suicide grids that separate each level. So I had to run up to the next level. And as I pass what was a commissary on the side, as I pass it, somebody whispered, I mean, a loud whisper. And I'm like, holy crap, I heard that. I heard that. And oh, I did not even want to be up there anymore. You know, I quickly plugged in what I needed to and went back down. Like,
I have to say, I'm highly impressed with you both because you keep going back in and these terrifying things keep happening, but yet you still love the place.
Well, we'll like justify it. We'll be like, well, you know, you've been here 6, 7 years. I've been here 14. Yeah. Neither one of us have ever been pushed down the stairs. Walking down a guard walk and my ponytail got grabbed. My whole head went back. That was like terrifying. And I left. I'm like, I'm done for today. I'm done.
Or we'll get what we call it. You get shanked.
Oh,
where you'll just be walking and a searing pain, like in your side or in your ribs.
Yeah.
And it happens to a lot of people where you'll just be perfectly fine. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh man, that hurts. And then we'll always, wow. You know, if it didn't happen to one of us, we'll look at them and go, ooh, you got shanked. This is the only way you can describe it.
What else would that be? Yeah.
Yeah, we make other people do things we won't.
That's a good idea.
Cell block where we'll have them stand in the doors of the cells with their back to the room. And literally you'll get pushed out or pulled in. And we line people up, have them do it, call out the ghosties and say, let them know if you want them in or out. And then we see this happen to people, but neither one of us have ever stood in the doorway of a cell.
Nope.
I'm not gonna.
No.
Nope.
And if I ever come visit and you go, hey, Carol, stand in the doorway. I'm like, oh, hell no. You guys forgot you told me that story.
The funnest part is we'll sit on the porch all night while people are ghost hunting until 2 a.m. We love it. We people watch, you know. And sometimes, like when we're up here on our own, people walk by and they'll be like, man, we always wondered what was in that building. It's so cool. And if I'm feeling a little bit spicy, I'll be like, hey, you want to see something cool? And I'll just drag in people off the street.
Because she has zero sense of stranger danger.
Obviously.
And I'll take them back to that one cell block and go, stand in the door. It'll be cool.
And I'm usually standing there going, stranger danger. Like with the bottle.
You sure you want to do this? No, you tell the people, you're like pointing at Sandy going, stranger danger.
Right? Seriously.
Don't trust this one. This is terrifying and entertaining at the same time.
We feel exactly the same way.
I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time. This has been such a fun conversation.
Well, thanks for inviting us to talk with you. It's great. Like I said, we'll open up again in March for booking. We don't book ahead because we never know what the next year will bring.
Right? True.
And we're a restoration preservation foundation that own the building. So I know a lot of buildings that do ghost hunts. That's all they do. But and that's great. That's fine. But we have a mission statement. You know, and our goal is to keep restoring the building and keep the history alive here. You know, and that's kind of why we do all this stuff with the community and the public is just to keep the building alive.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I love how you've taken a rather terrifying building and made it part of the community. I think that's wonderful.
We've had people that say they will never again.
Yep.
And that's okay. The one person we know, he came in to do like a podcast. He was following a ghost hunting group and he had such an experience here that it haunted him. He said he actually felt suicidal for like 3 weeks after he left and knew that he was not that person, that he didn't know what was wrong, what was going on, but he has vowed that he will never come back in here again.
No, and I don't think that's safe for him. You know, if it happened once, so easily happen to him again.
Yeah. And he invited us to his place for a podcast with him. And he explained his experiences here to us. And we understood completely. It affects some people in a negative way. And some people, you know, really enjoy ghost hunting. Some people just enjoy the building, the architecture. So there's something for everyone.
And And that wraps up our conversation about the Old Lake County Jail with Jackie Thompson and Sandy Boyd. If you'd like more information on the jail, as well as tours and paranormal investigations, visit their website at oldsheriffshouse.org. Or you could go to their Facebook page, just search Old Lake County Jail. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, and you'll get everything commercial free, you can sign up at Apple Podcasts, and you can also sign up at patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.